This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Wally. Good. How are you?
Good. Just figured out how to clear my throat here a little bit, but live radio, we'll keep going. The show must go on. Also joining us this morning, Lou Franceschetti and Butch Carter. Butch, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're thrilled to have you, Butch. Thanks for joining us. Also joining us this morning, Lou Franceschetti. Leaping Lou, how are you this morning, Lou?
Well, I think I'm a little bit better than you are, Wally.
It's okay. It's just
that was a total disaster last night.
It was a total disaster last night. Of course, you're not talking about the Leafs game, so you must be talking,
about the other
else.
Team that's close to your heart.
The other team that's close to my heart.
Aren't you a Packer fan?
No, that's Joe Bowen.
Oh, I apologize then.
No, you know, you can. You don't have to apologize, Lou. No, I'm a Bills guy. Packers, yeah, from the NFL back from the old days, from the 60s, Bart Starr and Jerry Kramer and a whole bunch of those guys. But, yeah, that was a train wreck for the Packers. Let's put that one aside for now. We'll come back to it. A lot of NFL going on today and the big game tonight. The Bills and the Chiefs. So I know, Naz, you're all excited about that. I'm all excited about it. And we'll come back to that one. But let's talk about the blue and white right now. Naz, when the Leafs got up last night 3-1, I got nervous. They haven't been doing a great job of holding 3-1 leads or 4-1 leads in the recent past. But they pulled this one out, Naz, and I guess the first place we should have a look at is the goalie, Peter Mrazek. Certainly an impressive performance by him last night. If he keeps it up and he can share those goaltending duties with Jack Campbell, that certainly improves the Leafs' lot in life. We're in basically the middle of the season. We're time for not so much a stretch run, but they got to stay focused now. But Naz, your impressions of last night's game, 3-1 lead, but they held it this time in a goal by Pierre Engvall with 0.3 seconds left in a period. So that certainly was helpful. But overall, last night, Naz, your impressions.
Yeah, the Leafs held the Islanders to 20 shots. It was only 20 shots by either team, so it was kind of a tight checking game. And the Leafs played well last night. I was expecting them to come back, though, the Islanders, for sure. But, they played well last night.
Yeah, it certainly did. Butch, I know you're a big Leafs fan. One of the criticisms of the Leafs this year, there's a lot to be optimistic about. Certainly, the talent. When you're watching Austin Matthews play at the top of his game, there's certainly he's in the top. In my opinion, the conversation top three players in the league, and certainly he's become more. More confident and more responsible, and so he's become a two-way player. Offensive talent off the charts. You got Marner, who's back and made a difference in the game last night. You got Nylander, wasn't one of his better games last night, but he's been playing well. And John Tavares, you go through the lineup offensively. But defensively, there are some concerns, Butch. Inconsistency on the back end. And that's got to be concerning. Your overall impressions, Butch, we haven't talked to you about the Leafs so far this year, and I know you're a keen observer. Your impressions of the Leafs, and what can we look forward to?
Well, I mean, the one thing that's always bothered me about the Maple Leafs are the gem as far as valuation in the NHL. They've provided more money for other teams And the current salary cap situation is a huge detriment to them in expanding their roster talent-wise. I compare it to where the Lakers are at right now, that you can have all the offensive players that you want, but the reality is that, especially when you're talking about one goal, two goal difference, the back end has to really be strong. And in the 25 years that I've been in Toronto, and this is my limited opinion, but I think I'm pretty much on point, they've never had a pair of really good defenders to keep that puck off the goalie. And I think it has gone on quite a while, and everyone can keep talking about the offensive guys. It's no different than talking about a great quarterback. But the reality is that a great quarterback in Green Bay got beat because special teams gave up 10 points. And it's the same thing that keeps happening to the Leafs. You go back to their playoff failure historically. It's always been from the massacre in Boston to what happened last year with the Canadiens. I just think they've never found – you don't have to have one guy. If you could have a pair of guys that are pretty good, it gives you a lot of flexibility. We keep mentioning all these offensive guys, and is that really going to work in the playoffs where the checking is tighter? And, you know, the Islanders only get 20 shots, so, you know, how many times is that going to happen? And you guys know the math better than I do on that.
Lou, following up on Butch's point, this team, this Leafs team, and we've said it since the beginning of the season, it's going to be evaluated by how it does in the playoffs. I mean, that's just the hard reality of the situation, given the disappointments of the last couple of years, given their cap constraints, given that they've sort of bet the house on their core four, five, if you want to throw Morgan Riley into the mix. Although, I will say Riley had a hell of a game last night. But the Leafs, if you look at their defense, you've got Riley and TJ, and they're soaking up all the minutes. Muzzin and Hole and Justin Hole are injured, so you have to throw Sandin in Liljegren, and you know they managed to. And then you go back beyond that, and you've got Dahlstrom and Dermott. When you get past the first two, I'm not sure that we're with Muzzin and Hole. Maybe when they're back in the lineup, but I don't know if Leafs Nation's inspired with confidence back there. Is that good enough, or is Dubas going to have to do something at the trade deadline?
Well, I think Butch knows his sports. He knows what it takes to put a championship team together, and what the Leafs have done. Sure, last night they won a big game, and Mrazek stopped 20 shots. I looked at it. It was a very, very emotional situation last night with what previously happened with the Islanders the night before. But again, if you don't have a puck stopper, if you don't have a number one goalie that's going to bail you out of certain situations, you're not going to win anything in this league or any league that you participate in. And, you know, they've got two guys back there, and, you know, there's a lot of cap restraints with the dollars that they've dished out to the top four up front. But if you haven't got a Mrazek or even a Carey Price out there that's going to clean up all the mistakes that your front five have made, you're really not going to go anywhere. And I think that's one of the reasons why they went out and signed Mrazek, is because they want somebody to push Campbell. And if Mrazek keeps playing the way he did last night, I think Campbell might be looking at being a backup again. And then are you going to want to dish out big money for a backup type goalie like Campbell if he can't play 50 to 60 games a year?
Certainly. If they get more performances like they got out of Mrazek last night, he can start splitting the goaltending duties. That's certainly a feather in Sheldon Keefe's cap. Gives him a little bit more options. Naz, looking at the standings this morning, because it's you know, we're midpoint of the season. Trade deadline is March 21st, so there's a long way to go. There's a lot of hockey still to be played, but I think when you look at the standings, you realize it's already pretty determined who the eight teams in the East are going to be in the playoffs. There's some separation, but you look at the Leafs situation. They 53 points. They're all of a sudden they're 8 points behind Tampa and Florida. Although to be fair, they have significant games in hand, but to creep back up into contesting first place, they'd literally have to run those games in hand to get back there. So there's a little bit of separation going on, and lo and behold, you look at the standings, and the Boston Bruins are nipping at the Toronto Maple Leafs' heels. They're only 3 points behind. So Leafs can't afford any inconsistent stretches, and they can't afford another slump. They went 3-1, and there's half a season to go. And you want to think that you want home ice advantage in the first round. And that looks like it might be a challenge. How do you assess the current Leafs situation, and where do they go from here?
They could be the third best team in the league and still finish third in the division. It's scary, Wally. It's really scary. And I think Tampa Bay is going to be the team out of that conference. I do.
Yeah, certainly Tampa and Florida seem to be the two best teams in the you can argue they're the two best teams in the NHL right now, for that matter. Their point totals are up to 61 points. Florida is playing well, extremely well. They've got a goalie, Bobrovsky, who's lighting it up down there. And, of course, Tampa's got Vasilevsky. So, you know, like you gotta butt heads against these teams with good goalies. Butch, Leafs, their situation right now, how important is it for them to move up in the standings if we're going to be successful in the playoffs?
Well, I think everybody, you want home ice advantage if you can get it. So the issue is, you know, with hockey, the problem is you're vulnerable to injuries. So, you know, they got to try to get on a run. They need to win, let's say, 80% of their home games. If they can get on that kind of run and protect home, you know, with the scoring efficiency that they have, they can be good on the road. But they're extremely vulnerable to being injured, and then I think that's where the inconsistency comes from. So you've got two issues: you have a physical injury, and then you've got this issue with COVID and icing your players. So it's unfortunate. The head coach will have to be very good in his staff and understanding that, you know, it's not a matter of, they use the term, next man up. Right? It's really the issue of there are certain analytical statistics that they must keep meeting. Like in basketball, I've always said it's win the first quarter, win the third quarter. So, again, you know, they need to be efficient to their analytics, and the players need to overcome. I watched the basketball game yesterday. To give you an example, University of Minnesota played Rutgers. Minnesota only had 7 players, the minimum amount eligible. And they won the game. They won the game. 3 guys played 40 minutes. So it's, the reality is that a coach looks better when the team overcomes its personal struggles that are thrown in its way. And right now, you know, that's yet to be seen. You're talking about home ice advantage, extremely important. Hopefully they can have fans in the stands this year. But the Leafs, you know, that's why I always said, from a cultural standpoint, why aren't they stronger? They're talented, but are they mentally strong enough to manage their own situation that COVID and injury brings?
Well, on that note, Lou, injuries, Muzzinhold, they're out. Leafs, I mean, at times, you know, at times, a good chunk of the season, I mean, when they've played up against some of the better teams, they've done fairly well. You know, Colorado, other team that's touted to be the best team in the league. You know, Leafs go in there, get some points. St. Louis, Vegas, they get points. I mean, let's throw out the one against Arizona, the worst team in the league. But, you know, it's not like they've been outclassed by the top echelon teams in the league. We haven't seen much of Florida and Tampa so far this year, so we'll see how that hasn't, or Boston for that matter. So, you know, when we get some of, when we get a taste of those two teams, that may give us a better idea of where the Leafs stack up. But, you know, we criticize them for losing these leads, these 3-1 leads. But at the end of the day, that's the pessimistic way of looking at it. I guess the, you know, the other way of looking at it, they were good enough to get those leads in these games against these really good teams. So, I mean, it's a double-edged, there's two sides of the coin. Is it not, Luke?
It definitely is, Wally. And again, they've beaten the good teams out west. They've had trouble with the Rangers in the east. They haven't played Washington yet. They haven't played Florida yet. I think they're 1-1 against Tampa. They're 0-2, I think, against Carolina. And if they do go into a little bit of a funk, they could end up playing in a wild card game. You know, well,
they're only three points clear of Boston.
Yeah,
so Boston's. You know, they're closer to the wild card than they are to second or first. So
that's right. Yeah. And you know what type of game that Boston brings. So for them, it's still going to be an uphill battle. They've just got to clean up the inconsistencies of later on in the game. I'm not sure if it's maybe they get a little bit more lax after they get a 2 or 3 goal lead, and they take things easy, think that the other teams are going to give up. But they just got to keep putting that foot to the throttle and playing the style of game that got them to the two or three goal lead, and play solid hockey instead of the hockey that they have been playing, where the games that they have blown lately.
Naz, last word to you before we go to break on the Leafs. We briefly touched upon it. Trade deadline, and you know, as Lou and Butch say, you know, injuries. You know, we've got more than half the season left, and as they say, the NHL season's a marathon; it's not a sprint. And I think we're getting into those tough marathon miles right now. You know, the 10 mile to the 17-18 mile range, where you got to stay focused. The coach got to keep them focused. Injuries become a factor for them and all the other teams in the league. But somehow you got to grind through and try and stay consistent. Certainly, last night's result was a positive one. The Leafs have always had difficulty down on the island. It's sort of a tough place to play, and Tavares is still getting the boo birds down there. But Sheldon Keefe, based on what you've seen, Naz, he's got some difficulties on defense, trying to manage up front, trying to manage the goalies. What's his focus from here, let's say, to the trade deadline?
His focus is that his team doesn't play soft, Wally. As he said, they play soft hockey, and they can't do that. But the trade deadline is going to be interesting this year because half the teams are going to be out of the playoffs, so it's going to be a buyer's market. It's going to be very interesting what they do with their defense, Wally.
Hey, you raise a really interesting point there, Naz, and they're talking about how active the trade deadline is going to be this year. And you just made a really good point. Is there could be a surplus? I mean, right now in the East Division, you look at the East Division, the playoff determination's already been set. There's eight teams that are clear. And there's eight teams that are literally already out of the playoffs unless something absolutely dramatic happens. So those eight teams are going to be sellers. And you've got eight teams that are buyers. It should be, certainly in the East, there should be a significant trade market at the trade deadline. So that may, as they're saying, that may drive the prices down. So maybe Dubas doesn't. Last year he gave up a pretty steep price to get Nick Foligno in. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I think he gave up a first rounder, which he got in return from the performance from Foligno, although Foligno was probably hurt. We didn't get much from him, so that didn't work out all that well. But you may not have to give up, you know, a first rounder or a second rounder this year because there may be a lot of talent on the market as teams fall by the wayside. On that note, we're going to go to break. Just before we go to break, you just brought something up, Lou, that I think it's appropriate that we talk about on the show. The NHL lost one of its beloved Islanders this week. And I know you, Lou, you and I had a discussion about it yesterday or the day before. He was beloved on the island, gone way too young, Clark Gillies. I know you have fond memories of Clark Gillies, and Lou, I think it would be appropriate at this time if you could share your thoughts and your remembrances of Clark Gillies with our listeners.
Well, Clark Gillies is a great human being. I know we've had our battles on the island when I was with the Washington Capitals. He even more or less threatened my life on the ice one time if I didn't behave myself because I was that much of a pest to him and to them in the playoffs. But I really got to know Clark about 10 years ago when he'd come to Toronto and share his time in a slow pitch tournament. It was called Bay Street. And he'd invite, well, not he would invite, but he was invited by James Duncan from wealthy firms, like capital firms from all across Canada, especially Vancouver and Montreal. And we'd go out and have a couple of pints. And then he was just a big jokester. He'd be a great person, great human being, great sense of humor. And he had a great Clark Gillies Golf Foundation tournament in Long Island, which I got the pleasure and the honor of being invited to because it was invitational only. And you really get to see another different side of him because the people that he invited were classics. We're talking Pierre LaRouche, Mary Lemieux. We're talking about old-time greats from the basketball era, from the baseball era. Even from the football era, guys that I always looked at playing, watching on TV, but then you get them in a different atmosphere playing golf on Long Island. It was just unbelievable, and there aren't enough good things to say about Clark Gillies. He was a great human being, and we've lost him at too early of an age. I just can't believe that he is still gone, and I'm having a tough time adjusting to not picking up the phone and talking to him on a yearly basis.
Lou, thank you very much for your kind thoughts and your kind remittances. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back. We'll talk some NFL football.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville asked, do you want to meet the hot Hawaiian of your dreams? This hot Hawaiian is slathered in bacon, red onion, spicy sausage, pineapple, and hot banana peppers. A large thin crust is just $16.99. One bite and you'll say, "Lew, wow!" You might even get a lay on the beach. Call Pizzaville at #3636 on your cell phone.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery, now open at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on new AM 740 Toronto, 96.7 FM, and on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. Joining us this morning, Butch Carter and Lou Franceschetti. NFL football, Naz, it's getting exciting. It's that time of year. January football can get pretty cold out there, especially if you're playing in Green Bay. Two games I watched yesterday, they were interesting games. They came down to the last couple of minutes in the Packer 49ers game. If you didn't watch it, came down to the last kick, and for all intents and purposes, I guess in the Bengals game, Titans game, it was the same thing. The field goal kickers were the stars yesterday, Naz. They pulled, they won the games for Cincinnati and for San Francisco. I think the home teams lost, the favorites lost. What happened yesterday, Naz? I think, in my estimation, we'll go around the table here. We'll hear from Butch, we'll hear from Lou. The Packers lost the game they should have won through sloppy special teams play. And the Titans also lost the game they should have won because their $38 million quarterback didn't perform like a $38 million quarterback. Of course, I'm talking about Ryan Tannehill. Naz, assess those games for us.
Well, the Tennessee game, the coach made an interesting decision with 7:02 left in the game. They went 4th-and-2 with Travis Henry, and they turned over the ball. And they could have kicked a 48-yard field goal there, and they would have been up 19-16. So, I think he would have made the field goal because the conditions weather conditions were really good yesterday in Nashville.
Yeah, certainly that's a good point, Naz. I think when you're in conditions and when you have defenses like all the defenses were playing well yesterday. None of these games were shootouts. Defenses on the field, they were holding in a situation like that. I think the coaching decision, as you quite rightly say, Naz, is if you got an opportunity in a game like that. It's wind chill factor below zero Fahrenheit, or even in the Tennessee game, you got an opportunity to put points on the board as a coach. You do it, don't you, Butch?
I think you have to take the points and defend your home field. And growing up not far from Cincinnati, I'm thrilled that the Bengals have done something they haven't done in 30 years, because losing Bengals and losing Cincinnati Reds has been very depressing for a kid from Ohio. But I think, look, he gets paid to make those decisions. The biggest issue was not that decision, just his quarterback just really played poorly. And you have two quarterbacks, I'm going to jump to the other game. But Jimmy was, I think, really bad for the 49ers.
Yeah.
But I think you have to put the points on the board and play defense and decide from there.
Yeah, certainly, Lou, questionable. I see these coaching decisions. I mean, with the benefit of hindsight, it's always easy to say, oh, you should have done the reverse. It's easy. It's easy, as they say. What's the cliche? Being a Monday morning quarterback? I guess it's being a Sunday morning quarterback this morning, going around this round table. Some of these calls where they go fourth and one and you don't make it because, you're on the 40, 50-yard line and you can't kick a field goal. And if you punt, likely. But, in conditions that you've got with bad fields and those types of things, and you got defenses that are playing all world, the offenses are having a tough time moving the ball. I think total San Francisco yardage was 225 yards, and you go over to the Cincinnati game where they give it to Derrick Henry, and he obviously Henry, he didn't look himself, to be honest with you. I mean, getting stopped on a 4-on-2, he didn't penetrate at all. Like, why not punt it like the old days where you try and punt it and you try to back the other team and you play field possession. You play field position ball. I just found some of the coaching. And, I'm not paid $10 million a year to be an NFL coach, but from a fan's perspective, I just found some, and I wouldn't use the word bizarre, but questionable. Lou?
The Tennessee game there, you've got a question. You got Derrick Henry, who hasn't played in about 10 weeks. You give him the ball on a 4th-and-2, where you've had, previous to that, a great running back in Foreman, who was just tearing up that defense. With running plays. You got Ryan Tannehill in the last 2 minutes of the game throwing a ball right in the middle of the field. And he didn't have his greatest game. Mind you, I don't really think he's a quarterback to win you a championship. It's tough sometimes because you want to give trust into the people that you have. And I really question on the personnel and the decisions of Vrabel and the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans on trying to put their players in the best position to succeed. And I really didn't think they did that in the last 5 minutes of the game, where it was crucial because, you know, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase did a pretty good job of moving the ball 30 yards with about, maybe a minute left. And, you know, even if they would have run the ball out, there was no way Cincinnati would have got the ball back and they could have gone into overtime and taken their chances there. The other game with Green Bay, it was just it was a game of turnovers and special teams. I guess with that big block at the end of the game with, I think, what was it, maybe less than 4 or 5 minutes left, they blocked the punt. Since San Francisco wasn't even in the game at that time, and Aaron Rodgers couldn't move it, couldn't move the ball, they couldn't move the yards to get that extra first down to waste the time, and that's what happened. San Francisco gets the ball back and moves it 15 yards, and they take a chance on a 45 or 48 yard field goal.
Yeah, but talk, and we'll leave this one quickly, and then we'll move on to today's games. But you know, other decision I found. You know, Tennessee decided that they were going to. I hope I got the right game. Naz, help me out. Where they decided to go for a 2-point conversion rather than a 1-point, and they missed it, and then they fell behind. And it was earlier on in the game, and like, why do that? Like, you know, why take that chance? Just put the points on the board. It's not you're earlier on in the game, and at the end of the day, that point ended up becoming crucial because, you know, I mean, the critics will say, well, you know, it's earlier on in the game, the teams will adjust, but I don't know whether you don't know what's going to happen. You got a point, and that point, if Tennessee had that point, then maybe Tannehill's not throwing in the last minute of the game or the last 2 minutes of the game, and maybe he's trying to run out the clock. Points matter at every, and 1 point can matter. Naz?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, they had 9 sacks on the quarterback. Joe Burrow had 9 sacks on. Unbelievable defense that Tennessee played. And they still lost. And then you got Garoppolo in Green Bay. He's a terrible quarterback. He's not even in the top 20 in the NFL. And we might have him in the Super Bowl. Can you imagine?
Yeah, well, certainly. Who is that, you laughing, Butch?
Yeah.
Okay. So before we move on to Buffalo Chiefs, I've got to follow up that laugh. So what's on your mind, Butch?
Well, the way I looked at Green Bay, and when I was watching the game with the wife, I said Green Bay kicked to San Francisco in the second half, and number 19, the kid from South Carolina, won the game. Him and the tight end. By doing extraordinary things in really bad weather. He runs that kickoff back to around the 50-yard line. And then, the footing was bad, and the talent just rose above. If you could go back and look at it, he's just outrunning people, physically outrunning people. And there's a reason they have him. I think he did an outstanding job. I think he saved Jimmy G. I mean, Jimmy G, just look, Jimmy G, you can't love him, and he will make a throw that you will hate him, but I think San Francisco survives. I don't know how you can do any better than you're up 10 points and you lose those 10 points because of special teams. The San Francisco coach was clear with the broadcast team that he felt that his special teams, he had an advantage over Green Bay. And it's really scary because you got a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know he's at the end of his rope on playing for you. He's got the 10 points on the board. You should win the game 10-7, whatever. And you end up losing a game that you really should have won in conditions that were ideal for why Green Bay never – my wife said to me, why don't they have a dome? because they want to host playoff games in this weather. You know, so, you know, I'm older than her, and I'm sitting there saying, like, if you'd have seen the Ice Bowl.
Who could forget that one?
My Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know, they thrive off of this cold weather climate in the playoffs. But I thought it was an outstanding effort by number 19 and San Francisco's tight end, making plays when other people could not make plays in those conditions. And they overcame with the special teams. Just, you know, Green Bay did everything except win the damn game. And I think that's how they're going to feel today.
Yeah, that certainly was a game that what's the proverbial line? They stole defeat from the jaws of victory. Anyways, this is probably a good time to go to break. We'll come back from the break and we'll talk about the Bills and the Chiefs and the Bucks and the Rams. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville asked, do you want to meet the hot Hawaiian of your dreams? This hot Hawaiian is slathered in bacon, red onion, spicy sausage, pineapple, and hot banana peppers. A large thin crust is just $16.99. One bite and you'll say, "Luau!" You might even get a lay on the beach. Call Pizzaville at #3636 on your cell phone.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery, now open at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon, and as usual, with me, my co-host, Naz Marchese, joining us on the line this morning, Butch Carter and Lou Franceschetti. Naz, we've been waiting for this game all week. I guess we can probably say we've been waiting for this game all year. Last year, the Bills faced the Chiefs, Kansas City, in the AFC Championship. We're getting this game one game earlier this year. Is there going to be a different result? Bills literally got dominated last year against the Chiefs. What can we expect? Are we going to see a different result this time around, Naz?
I sure hope so, Wally.
I know we all hope so, but analyze it for us.
I think, well, they have the best defense in the league, and they have the second-best offense in the league. So adding those two up, I think they have a really good shot, and I think they're going to win tonight.
Certainly. I will, you know, one interesting stat, though, that concerns me, though, Naz. I know the Bills have the number one defense in the league statistically, but I read an interesting article this week. They only matched up against really four top-notch offenses this year. When against the top-ranked offenses in the league, they don't come in at number one. Their results were a little bit different. But we're coming off a huge victory against the New England Patriots. My assessment of the game is, this is to state the obvious, is the assessment you'll find in most games, and maybe so more so in this one. If the Bills can establish a ground game, if their offensive line can keep pressure away from Josh Allen and give him time to find that cast of receivers that he's got, I very well see the Bills being victorious in this one. If not, it may be a long night for them. Butch, analyze the Bills and the Chiefs for us.
Well, historically, the conference that the Bills play in, the winner has had outstanding defensive numbers because the
American East has been poor, right? The Dolphins weren't winning. The Jets have been horrible the last 20 years. So, you know, yeah, when you play against those teams, your defensive numbers are going to elevate you. I like your evaluation against the top four, but I don't think there's anything like momentum. And I think that this Bills team that is going in to play in Kansas City has a ton of momentum. And if they can keep the Chiefs from making big plays, I think the Bills will win. And, you know, you can't help but love what they did against New England. It was long overdue. It wasn't just a win the game. It was pretty much a clean beatdown. The quarterback is playing, you know, let's say he's a top two or top three quarterback. So you're going to see two of the best three guys. I don't know who the third guy is, but you're going to see two of the best ones today. And so I think it boils down to, you know, if they don't turn the ball over, they just play their football, I think they have as best chance as they've had of going back to the championship game since the great Super Bowl teams.
Lou, Bills Chiefs obviously is the one that has the greatest interest in Southern Ontario and Western New York, where our listeners reside. There's another huge game today. Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the L.A. Rams. Tom Brady, 44 years old. He's got home field advantage. My assessment of this game is Rams looked pretty good last week. They've got a fearsome, you know, they've got some pretty significant talent on defense. Tampa Bay's got some injuries on their offensive line. Never bet against Tom Brady, but I think Tom Brady's going to be running around a little bit, trying to find some protection today, and that may swing the game in the Rams' favor. Matthew Stafford, the Rams' quarterback, much maligned. If he puts together a decent game, watch for the Rams to win this one. Lou?
Well, the big key word there is if Matt Stafford puts the game. Okay? And he's in the same shoe as Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo, all these guys that are making big bucks at the quarterback level, but they still haven't proved that they jumped over that last hurdle. They're not Aaron Rodgers. They're not Tom Brady. And I think it's going to come down to just like the Bills and the KC game. If you got a running game, you're going to keep Aaron Arnold and John Miller and all those guys backing up all night, which opens up the lanes for the short passes. And until you beat Tom Brady, I think he's going to have a hell of a game, knowing that next week he's going to host the home game because they don't have to go up to Green Bay. And you might see Tom Brady in another Super Bowl final, which I didn't think a couple of weeks ago was.
Just the thought of that is just mind boggling. And he's in the you read a lot of the analysts and the reporters, and they're suggesting that he's the favorite for the MVP award. 44 years old, although I think he's in tough this one. But you know, never never bet against Tom Brady, but. You know, he's got some of his key receivers are down. Some of his key offensive linemen are down. If this is an opportunity to beat Tom Brady, L.A. Rams want an opportunity to beat Tom Brady, this is the time. But, you know, they had him in the Super Bowl a couple of years back, and they couldn't do it, even when Tom was still with the Patriots, because the Patriots' defense came up big in that Super Bowl. Naz, your breakdown of Tampa, L.A., how do you see this game playing out?
I think Tampa Bay wins, and they'll win by about 6 points, and they're going to play Buffalo in the Super Bowl. What a Super Bowl that would be, Tampa Bay and Buffalo.
Certainly. Butch, we haven't last a comment on the Tampa-L.A. game. Tom Brady, L.A. Rams defense, Matthew Stafford, what's going to happen in this game and how's it going to pan out?
I don't think you can count on Matthew Stafford. This is a place he's never been. It's on the road. I think L.A. does have the best pass rush
for Tom Brady that he was seeing all year. It still doesn't matter. It seems like once Tom gets into a rhythm, he's just really hard to stop because he'll throw the ball anywhere that he needs to. He doesn't predetermine. So if the rush is coming faster, he'll just throw a lot of shorter passes. It's hard to bet against his experience, especially in a time where you can't hit the quarterback. So, you know, I prefer Buffalo. I don't prefer Tom Brady because of his what he did to in the AFC to Buffalo for all those years. But I find it hard to bet on Matthew Stafford. If he throws a pick early in the game, then I think things will go downhill. Everyone just really forgets how consistent Brady has been with throwing short passes and being successful moving the chains for new first downs. So, you know, that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, certainly if somehow Tampa's offensive line rallies and gives Brady some time back there, I think that's the key to the game. The Rams have to get pressure on Brady. It's been done before, even when he was in New England. I still recall that year that Denver had a dominating defense, and they went through and won the Super Bowl with Von Miller. They in that AFC Championship game, they were all over Tom Brady the entire game, and that's and you got to pressure him. You got to beat him up a little bit if you can, and this is their opportunity because a couple of the Tampa's offensive linemen got injured in over the course of the last couple of weeks, and I'm not exactly sure their status if they're playing, but if they are, they're probably playing injured. So that may be the Achilles heel for Tampa this year. But as they say, nobody's ever won money betting against Tom Brady, and this may not be a good time to start. So it should be a fascinating day of football. It's been a fascinating day yesterday watching it, and we're pulling for our Buffalo Bills. Go Bills! Butch, we haven't had you on for a while. We'd be remiss if we didn't get a chance to talk about basketball. How can we have Butch Carter on the show and not talk about basketball? That would be crazy. So, Butch, we haven't talked much about the Raptors on the show in the last few weeks, and this is our opportunity to do so. I checked the standings. Raptors are in a playoff position. They're in eighth place. Van Vliet has been playing incredible. Bring us up to speed on all things Raptors. Go ahead, Butch.
I think Nick is doing one of his best jobs coaching. I think that his issue down the road will be the number of minutes that he's playing OG, Pascal, and Van Vliet. But right now, they're not very good defensively, but they are excellent in transition. They're in the lower third in a lot of key defensive categories. But they're so efficient with those three in transition off teams' misses. And I think that he's played mad scientist. Like, what you have to do as a coach is stop playing the younger players, which it's hard to get continuity young players in the NBA. And he's gone through his three veterans. They complement that with being very physical. And that physicality, they play Portland tonight. Portland got beat up by Miami and lost a very close game, but Miami had them shoot about 22% down the stretch. And I would say today's game, Toronto has to be physical, take the Western Conference team that is a little soft, a little young, without their veterans in, to win a game. But I think that what Nick Nurse has been able to do, considering everything that's happened, is one of his best coaching jobs since he won a championship.
And Naz, I'll turn over to you and any basketball Raptors thoughts or basketball thoughts you want to bump off of Butch.
Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised that the Raptors are doing as well as they are because I thought they would falter this year. But Van Vliet and Siakam have played really well the past month and looks like they're going to make a playoff.
Yeah, I think, you know, they got Scotty Barnes out. I mean, I didn't like Scotty Barnes at Florida State. Because of his selfishness. You know, I think I've said that on your show here. But Nick has gotten him to a point where he only uses him if he needs him. Everything has to run through Van Fleet, OG, and Siakam for them to be successful. And like I said, I think he's doing a hell of a job coaching. You know, guys know I don't throw that around lightly, but he's getting a lot more out of them than what they should be able to do, considering that he doesn't have an offensive player that's a big.
Butch, going back to Scotty Barnes, he's the, you know, the first round draft choice of the Raptors last year. Had a start to the season. He's obviously his athleticism excites fans. There's no issue. He's got a package there that from a physical point of view that he can be an all-star in this league. I don't think there's any question about that. But you touched upon. And I remember when we first talked about him after his first five games. This what you tend to say about all rookies, Butch. Let's talk about him after 20 games. I think that's your classic line, and it's for all rookies. Let him go around the league a couple of times, and then let's have the discussion. So he's gone around the league a couple of times, Butch, since we last talked about Scotty Barnes. Size up his game. And what he need, where you ultimately see Scotty Barnes long term, where he size, is he going to be a superstar in this league?
I don't think he's going to be a superstar. I think he's going to be, he could be a very good player because his talent is his length. He's very long, and to his credit, he can play with both hands. But you know, he doesn't show me where he's got to. You got to remember, the evaluation that's been going with Scotty Barnes hasn't been him playing against the Jimmy Butlers of the world. So, yes, is he impressed for a rookie? In the team's mind, they're always trying to validate the draft position. But when I go back and say, okay, let's look at the best wing players, you know, how would he compare against Kawhi when Kawhi was young? Or, you know, wing players or LeBron, he's not that kind of player. He is a good player. He's not a super athlete. His athletic ability is his length, which should allow him to defend a couple positions and analytically that he can use with both hands. So he's, you know, in a rotation, he should be a very effective player, better than OG. But I don't know if he's got a pull-up, make-a-shot game where someone would have to come to him. He could play what we call ISO one-on-one. So, you know, he's a good player. Will he be a perennial all-star? I don't see how you're going to be a perennial all-star in Toronto if your team is not winning. And I don't see who's he going to replace. They trade OG, give him more minutes. They could do that. I would imagine that if I were them, I would be offering Scotty Barnes for Simmons in Philadelphia.
We've got a couple of minutes left, guys. It's been a spirited discussion in a lot of different ways. Lou, I don't know if you want to join in on the Raptors discussion or if you got any questions for Butch. Feel free.
Butch, that's a very, very interesting statement he just made. You would trade Scotty Barnes for a head case of Simmons? Well, you've seen this guy for a matter of 40 games.
Well, Lou, I don't think Butch used that particular adjective for Simmons, but
no,
go ahead.
No, I'm using it.
Okay.
I'm using it because I followed this kid from the only year that he was at LSU,
right.
And went public and saying, listen, guys, I'm not here to go to school. I'm here to play basketball, get drafted. And,
well, when he says that, isn't he just saying the truth? I'm shocked that you would
I've
say
never
that.
Heard anybody say that. And that's
well, but you know what? At least he was truthful because aren't a lot of those guys there just to get drafted? They're not there for school. Butch, we got a minute left. I'll let you respond to Lou.
Wally, Lou's comment is a fair comment.
Yep.
Right. But what happens is someone looks at the talent and says we can fix it. Right. You got to remember, Kyle Lowry was a knucklehead, and I believe right now Kyle Lowry is having a problem with Miami because they're saying he's out for personal reasons. I think he's trying to get traded out of Miami. All right, so let's go back to the issue is I believe
Butch, we got 30 seconds, Butch.
Okay, I believe that everyone who wants Simmons is trying to get him. I'm just saying what Philly's going to ask for, all right, is Scotty Barnes. That's what I would say if they do the deal. Now, yes, Lou is absolutely right. There is a history of doing things differently as a professional player. He's absolutely right.
Okay, on that note, Butch, unfortunately, the clock is striking 10, as it always does with us. We always run out of time. Naz got 10 seconds, last word. Naz, would we lose you? Anyways, I know what Naz's usual last word would be. It would be go Bills. Anyways, Naz, thank you. Butch, thank you. Lou, thank you. It's always a pleasure having chatting sports with you guys on a Sunday morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. To all our listeners, have a safe and fantastic week. We'll be back again next Sunday morning. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.